It is a special guest from Israel. It's Bill Dwyer.
Well, good morning, everybody. Happy New Year. You know, this has been, before we actually get into the subject today, I would just encourage you, if you have a chance at all to go to Israel, it'll really change your perspective on the Bible, because you'll actually see all the different places that Jesus went. You'll really begin to understand the history of Israel and the problems that they faced with all the people groups all around them. It'll just change your life completely as you really, it's like going from black and white to color and everything. Everything will really begin to make a whole lot more sense. So I'd really encourage you on that. Sure. Yeah, there's a lot of walking, and it's rocky. It's rocky everywhere. Lots of rocks. But it's worth it. It's definitely worth it. Okay, we are in the book of John. We've been studying in the book of John for quite a while now, and we still have a long ways to go. It's really a wonderful book. It's quite a bit different than the other Gospels. Does anybody know what John is trying to teach us? Anybody remember what the focus of the book of John is? Actually, if you have been following us along, you might not have gotten to it yet, because he tells us, but really at the end of the book of John. Let me read that. It's found in John 20:30. It says, "Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these things have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and in believing, you would have life in his name." So his whole focus is to show us all these different pictures of people who came to believe and begin to have life in his name. So the whole book really is about trying to get us to believe so that we would have life. It's all about life. Not just eternal life, but life during this period of time now. You can really begin to experience what I would call real life. And we're going to talk about that today. Now, the context of the passage that we're going to be looking at really is Jesus has been in the temple. And last week we saw where Jesus began to tell us that he is the light of the world. He's the light of the world. And light is important because if we don't have light, we can't see where we're going. And there's just darkness. And darkness is, it's okay if I'm trying to sleep, but if I'm trying to get anything done, I need to have light. Can you imagine what it'd be like up here if we put all the shades down and turn the lights off? Not pretty. Yes. Absolutely, and that is a key thing. Before you knew Jesus, it's different. We can't see anything, really. We can't see things clearly. You know, one of the characteristics of this last year has been this whole idea of fake news. You know, we hear about it all the time, fake news. People making up stories and then putting them out on the network, and they're not true at all. They're just lies. Somebody made them up. And so one of the things that we're going to be looking at today is this whole idea of truth. So let me read the passage for us, and we'll take a look at what we have today. John 8, and actually I'm going to start at verse 30 instead of 31. "As he spoke these things, many came to believe in him. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, 'If you abide in my word, then you will truly be disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free.' They answered him, 'We are Abraham's descendants and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?' Jesus answered them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak the things which I have seen with my father. Therefore, you also do the things which you heard from your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you are seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from my father. This Abraham did not do. You are doing the things of your father. They said to him, we are not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. And Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and have come from God. For I have not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I am saying? Is it because you cannot hear my word? You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth because there is no truth in him. Whatever he speaks a lie. He speaks from his own initiative, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? I speak truth. Why do you not believe me? He who is from God hears the words of God. For this reason you do not hear them, because you are not of God. There's a lot of stuff in this particular passage. But I think most of it will be found really in one of the first verses here. And really in verse 31 it says, if you abide my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's really the whole core of this particular topic, and most of the passages that go after this are really kind of a commentary on what this really means. And we're going to really today be looking at a lot of different things in here. We're going to look at the differences between the material world around us and the spiritual world around us. We're going to look at the differences between being free and being a slave. We're going to look at the differences between truth and lies. And I think most importantly in here, we're going to look at what are we listening to? What are we listening to? Because that is going to determine really what our life is going to be all about. So let's take a look at this. Verses 30 to 33. He spoke these things. Many came to believe in him. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants. We have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it you say that we'll become free? Well, first of all, one of the things we see here is that they're getting confused. They're thinking about the material world as being physical descendants of Abraham, and they're not. Jesus is not talking about that. He's talking about something spiritual. But had they ever been enslaved? Yeah, they've been enslaved quite a few times during the course of their history. So even what they're saying here is not true. One of the important things that we want to look about here is, what does it mean to be free? What does it mean to be free? What do you think? We're free in this country. You know, freedom has been a very important aspect of this country. But what does it mean to be free? Jim.
Well, what you do is you choose to do unless it's harmful to someone else.
I get to choose what I want to do.
Right, unless it's harmful to someone else.
Well, isn't it still freedom to do harm to somebody else?
I don't think so.
Okay. Jim. I'm sorry. Mark.
Mark. Yeah, I would say that
would say that the freedom is found in Christ, just like that says, and therefore I'm free if he says I'm free. And everything else is, you know, I can think that I have a choice, but I'm not even sure of that anymore. It seems like I want my will lined up with God's, so that the choices are just like I consider his.
Okay, so freedom kind of has something to do with choice, then, doesn't it? The ability to make choice, and to follow up on that. Yes. I'm sorry. I'll come back to you in a second. I always like to pick people who have something in their mouth. It makes life interesting. Hang on to that. Yes, ma'am. Okay, so somehow responsibility is associated with freedom as well. We can make choices. And I think probably where that is kind of leading to is whenever we make choices, choices always have consequences. And we need to be mindful of what those consequences. Matter of fact, it's a whole lot better if we understand the consequences before we make the choice. How many of us have done things the other way around? Yeah, we get to make choices, but we don't get to choose the consequences. And consequences always cause problems. Yes, ma'am, go ahead.
Freedom for me means I'm not bound by demonic forces or spirits.
Okay, so there's something that ties us up, and that the freedom is being separated from those ties, the things that constrain us. Jim.
Usually we have some kind of a part in that enables demonic forces to latch on to. It is an addiction, a sin of some kind that gets entrenched in our life.
Okay. Okay, so there's some things that tie us really up there, and yeah, those are problems. Yes, Missy.
I have two types of freedom here.
Okay.
Well, my freedom, the first one is letting my mother go and letting myself, you know, breathe a little better, because it took a lot out of me, and when I did that, and it was time for me to just move on and enjoy now, and anyways, that, and also when I felt the obsession lifted from drugs and alcohol,
mm-hmm.
that was totally freedom. I felt that I knew it, and you know, and although I'm going through what I'm going through, trials and errors and all that, I still feel free not to go back to, you know, that other life, because that's definitely not a solution.
Yep.
Freedom to make better choices, you know, and continue to hold on to God's hand and listen, you know.
Sure. Yeah, I know that was a difficult thing for you to let your mother go. But there's a tremendous amount of freedom in things like that, things that tie us down. And the big problem that we clearly have, and Jesus talks about it in here, is the sin problem. When we are slaves to sin, we're really not free to do what we want to do. And I'm sure all of us have really experienced that. I know how I have in my own life. You know, things that really bound me up, and until I came to know the Lord, I couldn't get free of those. Before we know the Lord, we are really not free. We don't have choices to do everything that we want to do. We don't really have the choice to do what God has created us to do and to become. We have no choice there. Because we are all born in sin, and we're stuck there until the Holy Spirit enables us to become free. And one of the other things about freedom here, it says he's going to make us free. When we will know the truth will make us free. What are we free for? What are we free for? Why would he want to make us free? Jim. Okay, so we are free to have life. Well, weren't we alive before?
No.
We were all walking around. I've seen you walking around. We all came into these rooms at some point in time. Seems to me we're kind of alive. Yes. Okay, so there's some bondage of self that kind of gets in the way here. Paul.
Yeah, we're free to know him.
Okay, so we're free to know him, okay? He makes himself known. And we'll see some of the problems a little bit later in the passage, where the problem comes from there. Jim.
What I understand, God wants us to be free to choose.
Okay, so part of the problem of sin is we can't really choose him if we're under the influence of sin. We have no ability. You know, we often talk about, I think, even in a non-believing state, of seeking God. But the reality is none of us really seeks God until he enables us to do that. We seek kind of a God of our own making or the way we want him to be, but not the real God.
Yeah. Well, and then in verse 31, free to follow him and be his disciple.
Okay, so we're free to follow him to be his disciple. But I think the outcome here is very, very important for us. The reason he wants us to be free is so that we can become what we were created to be. And the analogy or the picture that Jesus uses, and we'll see this much later in John chapter 15, is we become free to bear fruit. You know, we were created for a real purpose, and the purpose was to bear fruit. Now, we don't all bear the same fruit in the same way that all fruit trees don't provide the same fruit. There's a lot of different fruit, and where each one of us was created in a special way. When we come to believe in it, if we continue in his word, we will bear fruit. Now, I think this fruit bearing is really a little bit different from the general topic of salvation. Once you believe, you're saved. But your life will not really be a whole lot different unless you continue in his word. He has a purpose for you, and if you don't continue in his word, you'll never fulfill that purpose. And I found out in my own life, if I don't continue in his word, then I start wandering off and start listening to the world around me again, and my fruit starts to rot. It doesn't grow anymore. It's only when I continue and abide in him, as he says in John chapter 15. When I abide in him and his words abide in me, then I bear fruit. And the fruit, really, there's two, I would say, two classifications of fruit that become important here. One of them is the work that I do once I believe, the work that he does through me. He has a purpose for me, and he wants me to fulfill that. And, you know, some people serve. There's a lot of ways that we can work, that God leads us into relationships with others so that we let them know about who he is. There's a lot of different aspects of work, and those become important because they further the kingdom of God. But the second one is important to me, and that is I have fruit in my life. This is the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is important because it really fulfills some real fundamental basic needs that I have. In the world around us, the world is looking for happiness. They spend a lot of time trying to find happiness, but it's really elusive. You might be happy for a while, and then things change. Your team loses, or the stock market goes south, or you get sick, and the happiness goes away. But God gives us joy, and joy is quite a bit different from happiness. Sometimes it feels the same, but the source of joy is the Holy Spirit, and we can have joy even when things are hard, very, very difficult.
thinking that John says every word of God is pure and he's a shield unto them that put their trust in him. In other words, God wants us to trust him, not for our sight. So we trust him, not allowing the sin of the world, the entanglement, to distract us, so we're not in bondage. So we're set free from the bondage of sin to do his work.
That's right. We're set free to do his work. And so the other thing, we have joy in the Lord. That's one of the part of the fruit. Another part is peace. When he fills us with peace, then we're no longer anxious about what's going on in the world around us. And the world around us is getting uglier and uglier all the time. And it's easy to become anxious about that. But he gives us a peace, says it's okay because he's still in control. And he changes us from the inside out. And he gives us love, the capability to, first of all, to know that he loves us and we're loved. But secondly, and very, very important, is we can actually learn how to love each other, love others. And to me, this idea of being able to love others, it's like... you know, not too long ago, most of us had Thanksgiving dinner, and, you know, there's a ton of food there, and at the end of the day, I don't really want any more food. I just can't eat anymore. Can't eat another piece of pie. When I'm full like that, it's real easy to give stuff away. Real easy to give it away. I don't want any more. Here, take whatever you want. I'm full. It's the same way with life, though. When the Lord makes us full of life, it's very easy for us to love. If we don't have life and we're not full of the life that he gives us, then we're very, very needy and we want to reach out and grab. Give me some love. I want something. But when we're full of life, then we can really love. And he wants us to be full of life. You know, he says he came that we would have life and have it in abundance. That's what he wants to do in our lives and make us full. And then we can really begin to love more and more. And so those things are important. That's one of the things that he has freed us for, so that we can really experience the life that he has for us and the purpose within that life. So let's see what else we have here. Okay, in verse 34, Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son makes you free, you'll be free indeed." So this is kind of a reference really back to the Old Testament and to within the life of Abraham. Remember, Abraham had two sons. He had Ishmael first through Hagar, and he had Isaac. What happened there? Do you remember? Anybody remember what happened to those two guys? Rick?
Sarah said that Hagar had to go, so she and Ishmael were sent off, and they went into the wilderness to die.
Why did they have to go?
Because Isaac was the son of promise.
Okay. Yeah, and it also says there that Ishmael persecuted Isaac. There was persecution there. And I think what this is really a reference to more than anything else is within God's kingdom, here particularly on earth today, there are believers and there are non-believers. Non-believers are equivalent to Ishmael. They are not going to stay in the house forever. Eventually, there will be a judgment that comes, and non-believers, those who don't accept Christ, will be cast out. It's only those who are of God, who become believers, will stay in the house. So it's really a picture of what happens to us over time. And he's trying to help them understand that a little bit, because they had a good understanding of Abraham's sons. And so verse 37, he says, I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. When he talks about my word here, that word in the Greek is the word logos. And logos refers to more than just speech that we have. It also really speaks of the intelligence behind the speech. And so in John 1 that we looked at many, many weeks ago, he says that he is the logos. He is the word of God. So Jesus is the logos, and he's also the intelligence of God. So all that God is, we really see in Christ in here. And so when we hear the word of God, it's much, much more than just the speech. When we have the word of God in us, or if we continue in the word, what we're continuing in is all that God is and all that he says he is. So this becomes important for us to really begin to see that. So he says here that his word has no place in them. That word place really means to make progress. And so what he's trying to tell us here is that if I want to progress and really begin to bear fruit in my life and become his disciple and know the truth and have the truth set me free, I have to make sure that his word begins to grow in me. How do I do that? How do I make sure that his word is growing in me? Andre,
the truth.
What is truth?
Right.
That's a good question. How do you define truth?
Read the Bible.
Read the Bible? How do we know that's true? By faith. We have to have faith, don't we? We have to see that. And God, through his word, if you read through his word, there's tons and tons of prophecy in the Bible that comes true. It all comes true. God, through his wisdom and through the work of Christ, puts the word in the Bible, and he shows us over and over and over and over again that it can be trusted, that it is in fact truth. There's tons of proof there, but it doesn't do us any good until we bring it into ourselves. We have to be reading it all the time. And it isn't really enough just to read it. It's like reading another book. The way we make it part of us and that it really resides in us and changes us is we have to act on it. We have to do what it says. As we make decisions, this gets back to our freedom thing again. As we make decisions, we see things in God's word, and then we act on those. Then we begin to see that it is in fact true, and it becomes part of our own experience, and we grow. If we don't act on it, it doesn't do us any good. We have to act on it. There are two aspects of believe, I think, that become important. There are two aspects, or believe or faith or whatever you want to call it. One of them is that I have to obey, and that's really acting on it. The second aspect of it is I have to trust God. When circumstances come into my life, I have a choice to make again. And now because I'm free, I do have a choice. I can either choose to trust him and do things his way, or I can go my own way. And I know what happens when I go my own way. It always leads to death of some sort. Clearly not physical death, because I'm still here, but I've experienced loss when I go my own way. My life gets sucked away when I go my own way. And I want to bear fruit. I want to have that fullness of Christ in me. The only way I can do that is I have to respond to what he's told me to do. I have to respond to the circumstances that he's put me in and trust him with the outcome of that. It becomes absolutely crucial. So we'll kind of see the challenge of the problem that we have here in verses 38 to 39. It says, I speak the things which I've seen with my father. Therefore, you also do the things you heard from your father. And they answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said to them, if you're Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. Well, here we're going back into the Old Testament again. What did Abraham do? It says, do the deeds of Abraham, or do the works of Abraham. What did Abraham do?
He believed God.
He believed God, and it was put in his account then as righteousness. He believed God. And so really, when you hear that word believe, think trust. He trusted God in what he did. Now, he didn't do it completely well. You know, he ran into some problems. But we see the growth in his life all the way up to the end. And recall when he took his son Isaac up to Mount Moriah and he was told to sacrifice him, he obeyed God. And he got everything set up there and he brought the knife out and the Lord stopped him. So he put his trust fully in God and he acted on it, which is another picture for us. And so Jesus is telling those who are hearing him then, do the deeds of Abraham, believe God and act upon those. Believe God. Verse 40, but as it is, you are seeking to kill me, a man who told you the truth, which I heard from God, this Abraham did not do. You are doing the deeds of your father. They said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and have come from God. For I have not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. So there's, again, a lot of stuff going in here. Evidently, they knew that Jesus was born of Mary, and he was actually born out of wedlock. And so they recognized that here, and so they were not too happy with him because of that. But the important aspect of here is that there is a lack of understanding. They do not hear what he's saying. And this is an important aspect for us to remember, particularly when we're talking to people in the world. You ever try and tell them about Jesus and they go, what are you talking about? This doesn't make any sense. Well, it doesn't make any sense for a reason, because the Spirit of God is not in them. It is only when we really say, okay, God, I believe you, that they begin to see. Again, this gets back to Jesus being the light of the world. When you think about truth again, this is an aspect of truth that is important. A good definition of truth is that which corresponds to reality. Truth is those things that correspond to reality. Now, the problem is, most people only see the reality as this physical world around us. And Jesus is going to begin to show them that there's much, much more to it than that. There's a spiritual portion of the world that we can't see with our natural eyes, but it's very, very real nevertheless. And becomes very, very important, because if we ignore that, things are not going to make a whole lot of sense in the end at all. So they didn't understand what he was talking about, because they couldn't hear his word. Now, 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually evaluated. So we are not born with the capability to be able to understand God. He has to really enlighten us. His Spirit has to come into us to enable us to do that. Verse 44, you are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there's no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So the devil's a liar. How does the devil speak? How does he speak? I mean, if he's a liar, how does he tell his lies?
He would tell us there's life in something that is actually the opposite.
Okay, you know, there's life in something else. How does he do that, though? How does he tell us that? The thoughts. Part of us are thoughts. How else?
Through the world.
Through the world. Yeah, yes.
He does it through all those things, but he also does it through...
okay. Rick?
Doubts.
Through our doubts. Okay. There's three fundamental areas that it shows up in. You know, we have problems with the world, you know, through the ideas of the world on what life is all about. You know, it's accumulating stuff and getting what you want. That's how the world sees life and fulfillment. It's the flesh. You know, our flesh really responds to that particular message because our flesh likes stuff like that. And then the devil himself sometimes does it. So it's mostly through the ideas of the world, and those ideas really attract us because that's what our flesh is looking for. Yes?
Yeah, what he does, he adds and takes away from
it. Ah, he does.
So he confuses us, and
it's easy to accept. Yeah, sometimes his lies are fairly subtle. It's going back to the Garden of Eden. That's a very subtle lie there. He says, if you eat of that apple, you know, surely you're not going to die. And you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Well, they ate of the fruit and they found out. In some respects, they were like God because they know good and evil, but it didn't benefit them at all. Matter of fact, it caused them problems more than anything else. So oftentimes, Satan's lies are very, very subtle. How do we know the truth then from the lie? How do we know the truth from the lie?
Through the Holy Spirit.
Through the Holy Spirit and the Word. The Word tells us what the truth is. And part of our discernment then has to be, I need to know what the Word is in order to detect lies. It's like trying to figure out counterfeit money. I don't need to know how counterfeit it is or why it's counterfeit. I just need to know what the real thing looks like. If I know what the real thing looks like, I can reject anything that's not real. So it's important for us, again, to know his word and to stay connected to his word. And then lastly, it says, but because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak the truth, why you do not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them because you are not of God. And so I guess my last question for us to kind of finish up this morning is, what are you listening to? Are you listening to God's word or are you listening to Satan's words? Is God's word really in you? Do you begin to understand and see why his word is truth? And if you're really struggling there and it doesn't make any sense, this is the advice I would give to you. Give up on yourself and turn to Christ. And believe what he's saying because it is in fact truth and it will change your life. Matter of fact, you'll become free, like he said here. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free, and you'll be free to pursue life, starting now and forever.
Amen.
Let me pray for us. Dear Lord, there's just so much in this particular passage, Lord, but help us, Lord, to stay and continue in your word, because in your word, in who you are, there is life, and life in abundance. And that's what we're looking for, Lord. I don't want that which only brings me death. I want that which brings me life. And I know you do too. And help us, Lord, then to be disciplined, to stay in your word and to respond to it, to trust you and do what you've asked us to do. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Bill.